Now, Shia for today on Daf Mem Aleph will begin on Mem Amid Beis, approximately 12 lines up before the end of the Amud V'Ala Novlos. The Mishnah has established that on Novlos we make a shakol nivadvar, and the Gemara wants to know, my Novlos, what is Novlos? Rabbi Zera v'Rab Ilo. We have two opinions. Echad Omer, according to one, Bushle Chamra. In the Hebrew translation, Tmarim, dates, shenis yavshu michom hashemesh, that were dried by the sun. And kamra means sun or heat. And Rashi on the pasuk in Echa, arnu ketanur nichmaru, Rashi says nischamemu, we were heated up. And tmarim are sort of burnt up by the heat. And the Magen Avraham says that the chom hashemesh is so intense that it's mekalkel the tamarim, and the tamarim are not in their original state, and therefore we don't make a bar priya eitz. Instead, we make a shahakol near bidvaro. Chanomer, according to another opinion, tamrei de zika. These are tamarim that fell from the tree because the wind blew them down, and they didn't reach full maturity, and it's called a min klola, as we'll see soon in the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to find out why we make a shakol nir bidvaro. And once again, we're going to see soon whether or not these tamarim reach their full maturity or not. Tnan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol, Shehu Min Klola, Ein Mevarchan Alav. We don't make a bracha on a Min Klola, and we said that a Min Klola means that it's not in its original form, and it's in a much more, shall we say, negative form. Is bishlei man diomer bushlei chamra. We understand Rabbi Yehuda in the case of bushlei chamra, because if novlos are these dates that dried up from the heat of the sun, hainu de karile min klola, we understand it's justified to call it a min klola, these fruits, because these were once healthy, and it was kalkel through the heat of the sun. In other words, these, according to Rashi, as we said earlier, are dates that are heated up by the sun. They get burnt up, and they miskalkel. According to the Aruch, which we mentioned earlier, this bushlei de kamra are tmarim that are pagim and tmunim bi'afar. This is a whole different entity. It means it's called a minklola because originally they were mukhsharim. They had the potential to become healthy and ripe, and instead they were miskalkel, and they never really got ripened. El madiyomer tamre de zeka. According to the madiyomer, who identifies novlos as tmarim that were blown down by the ruach, by the wind, is buamai minklola. Why are these tmarim called a min klola? They weren't miskalkel, the Gemara thinks in the Hava Mina. In other words, right now the Gemara thinks that these dates had matured on the tree, but instead of having to be harvested by a human being, they fell from the ruach. So the Gemara says, why is that called a min klola? No kilkel happened to them. And if we're going to go like the Taz, that these tamarim fell from the tree before they were completely mature, and the Prima Gadim says that the Gemara's Kasha, then according to the Taz, is why is this called a min klola? Meaning, is this a min klola? In other words, even if it reached its full maturity, you can say that it's not included in the min. Why is it not included in the min? Just because it was blown off by the ruach? That doesn't make any sense according to the Taz's interpretation that it was. In other words, again, let's go through the two possibilities. In the simple pshat here in the Gemara, it seems that these tamarim were nashu min ha'ilon li'achar gemar bishulam, after they were matured. But it's still called a minklola. The Gemara doesn't understand why it was called a minklola. Nothing terrible happened to them. According to the Taz, that these tamarim fell from the tree before they were completely mature. So then the Gemara still doesn't understand why is it called a min klala, emphasis on the min. In other words, are you telling me that this is sort of excluded in the min, and it's to be classified as a min klala? There's no reason why we should say so, simply because they were blown down from the wind by the wind before it reached Gemara Bishulo. So the Gemara answers, Asha'ara. The Gemara says that Enochinami, these tamarim are not called a min klola, either because they had reached full maturity before they were blown off the tree by the wind, or even if they haven't reached Gemara Bishulam, as we said in the name of the Taz, but nevertheless it's not called a min klola. But when the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol shu min klola ein mevarchan alav, he doesn't have in mind novlos, his kavana was for the other things mentioned in the Mishnah, like chometz and gevoy, things that really, really are spoiled, like you have wine that became chometz, became vinegary, it's really fermented in such a way. Or for example, gavoy, that we say that this is a bug, a grasshopper, or some sort of a locust, or that eats up the tefuah, that's called a klola. But novlos, if they fell off the tree or were blown off the tree before they reach Gemar Bishul, that's not called a klola. Enochinami, that's not called a klola. Now, the Bach in his understanding of the Rambam Shita, he says that Ashara, the word Ashara here in the Gemara, means Ashar, meaning Novlos, meaning that there are two categories of Novlos. There are Novlos that are blown off the tree when they are very, very small before they've developed and ripened. And that's called Shara. That's what the rest of the novlos are. Rabbi Yehuda, when he speaks about Klola, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Mevarchlam, they don't even get a bracha at all, not even a Shahakol, he's talking about a more extreme case of novlos that are blown off the tree when they're so young, they're so small, that they haven't developed, it's before they're ripening, and therefore you don't make a bracha at all. But you do have novlos on which you would make a bracha, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's not shara, but that's the case where the novlos did reach some advanced stage of development before they fell from the tree. They were blown down by the tree. So when the Mishnah says that novlos, you require a shakal nivivor, that's one kind of novlos, according to the Bach's interpretation in the Rambam. Those are more developed novlos that fell from the tree. But ashara, if you have something which fits into klola, which means we're talking about extreme novlos that are very small and they don't, they haven't matured, then you don't make a bracha at all. Ikan Niamri, the Gemara has another nusach with regarding this interpretation of novlos as tmarim shenafshu al yidei ruach bishleim lamandi omar bushle kamra. The Mishnah can be understood according to that opinion that novlos are tmarim that as a result of the heat of the sun they were miskalkel. Hainu devarchin alei shahakol. We only make a bracha shahakol because they were miskalkel. They're not the way they really should be. They're not the potential, the real tamarim. So you don't make a bar priya eitz, but rather you reduce and lower the bracha. They're not really tamarim that are tovim lachila when they're raw. Here, through the process of heating up through the sun, the bracha goes down from one level of borei priya eitz to the level of shahakol ni'abidvaro. And this reminds us, by sheer analogy, of the sugi that we learned back on Daf Lamed Ches with regard to something that could be eaten raw, and you cook it, and then it changes the bracha through the bishul to shahakol ni'abidvaro. Here also, through the heating process, there's a certain level of hiskalkalus, if you can call it that, and it goes down in its palatability, in its taste, and therefore it loses its bracha bar pri eitz, and it falls down to a shakal niyavidvaro. And all this makes sense when the Mishnah classifies novos amongst those things that require a shakal niyavidvaro. Lamandi omatame de zika. If you're talking about tamarim that were blown down by the wind, so why is there bracha shahakol? Is bari priya eitz mi boile liv ruche? We should assume that they reached full maturity and they were blown down the wind and they're still tasty. Why is the fact that they were blown down the wind, if it was liachar gmar bishulam, why should that change the nature of the bracha? And therefore, it's impossible to interpret novlos in our Mishnah's Tami Dezeka. And now we go back to the two dais that we started with today. We had Machlok Shim Rav Zera and Rav Ila as to what the word novlos means in the Mishnah. One of the interpretations, which is Tami Dezeka, just doesn't stim. It doesn't make sense in the context of our Mishnah. Ella, so now we have to know what are these two days. You know, we had a machlokis here about novlos. Ella, novlos stama. When our Mishnah used the word novlos stam without any adjective, is kliyamalo pligi. Both Rav Zera and Rav Ila agree that dibishuli kamra ninu, that these novlos, in the case of stam novlos, are bushle kamra, which means the tamarim that were heated up by the sun. And the machlokes between Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Lo is not relevant to our Mishnah. When our Mishnah says that you make a shahakal because there was some serious kilkul in these tamarim, these novlos, that's talking about a case where everybody agrees to the interpretation of our Mishnah, where it was these tamarim were so burnt up by the sun and the heat of the sun that they're no longer as edible as they should be, they're barely edible, and therefore the bracha shahakol kipligi. The machlok shim of Zerim Rav Ila is not on our Mishnah, but rather a different Mishnah to explain bin novlos tamara, not just stam novlos, but novlos tamara. Disnan, we have a Mishnah at the beginning of Tamai, and the Mishnah lists those minim which are called Dmai, Hakalin Shebidmai, those that the Chachomim were making in Dmai, which means that if you buy them from an Amoritz and you don't know if the Amoritz was Maser, he took off Maser or not, they would not need Maser. And this is going to be the list of those foods that grow or different materials that do not require Maser, even though you bought them from an Amma Aretz. Again, the word Tamai means that you bought these fruits from an Amma Aretz. You don't know if he was Mafrish. The Chachamim require that you be Mafrish Masim in a Tamai because we suspect that the Amma Aretz were not Mafrish Tamai, and they are not believed to tell us that they were Mafrish Tamai. Tamai is Miloshon Damai. We don't know what it is. Mazeh. We're not sure if it was Ma'usar or not Ma'usar. And the Mishnah lists those peros, Shelo Gazru, Bahem, Isu, Dmai, and if you buy it from the Amoritz, you don't need to be Mafris, Trumas, and Maisris. Hashisin, Varimin, Veha Uzarodin, Binos Shuach, Binos Shichma, Vegufnin, Vinitzpa, Vinovlos, Tmara. And the Gemara now explains what this list entails. Shitin in the Mishnah, Omer Rabba Baruchonim, Rav Yochanan, Min Te'enim. These are figs that grow wild in the desert. They're called Midbarios. And again, the reason why Chazal and Mekil in these kinds of peros is because they're not called peros chashuvim, and therefore an Amoritz would certainly not be inhibited from being mafrish maser. He doesn't lose that much by taking maser from these secondary peros. And the Rabbana would make it in Zidmai because there are two sfeikas. First of all, it could be they came in a hefka. Hefka is potem in a maser. And secondly, even if they came in a meshuma and a chayv maser, maybe the Amoritz took off maser. The Rambam, however, in Mishnah Maaser, Perek Gimel, says that the reason why we don't require Afrashas Maaser is because we assume it's Hefker, which would mean that even if we know for sure that the Amoritz who's selling it to you was not Mafresh Maaser, it still is part of an Maaser because it's Hefker. Now we get to the cases specifically. So we have the first case, which is called shisin, and those are kind of secondary figs. And the Yerushalmi says that these figs grow mitachas li'olim, somehow underneath the leaves, and they're called shisim miloshon yisodos. Yisodos means something at the bottom, you know, at the fundamental, the stone like that, like David HaMelech digs through shitim in order to set up the yisodos of his bear. So it's like almost subterranean. In any way, these te'enim don't grow above the olim, and therefore they're an inferior kind of te'enim, and they're assumed to be hefker. Then we have rimin. Is kandi. These are a type of pomegranates that are almost completely empty inside. They simply don't grow in the right way and produce all the seeds that a normal rimon would be. So they're kind of an inferior hefkedika kandi. Ha'uzradin are tulshi. Tulshi is a fruit that's at the very beginning of its growth, and it has what we call sa'aros dakos, and until it's gmar bishul, these sa'aros fall off, and it becomes white. So these are tulshe, and then we have benos shuach, which Amar Rab Bar Chanan Rab te'enei chiv rosa. These are white figs, and that's a type of a fig that min teinim ha'osa peres mishaloshanim l'shaloshanim. In any event, these are sort of wild. They grow out. They grow in the forest and so forth. So these are not figs that are normal figs. They're white figs. They're b'no shuach. The Gemara Nedarim seems to assume that these figs are not white and they're not black. Maybe they have a different kind of a color. But in any event, it would seem that these are not the most, most desirable figs. V'nos shikma in the Mishnah, Rabbi Baruchan, Rabbi Yochanan, is duvli. Duvli means te'enim hamukavos bi'armon, and kind of crossbreed, a mix between a chestnut and a fig, and gufnin are the anovim on the vines that we mentioned in the Mishnah that are called shilhei gufni. In other words, they perhaps grow during the winter months. And once again, these are not, you know, the grapes that you want to eat. They will never, because they're in the winter, they will never actually mature. And apparently they use to make some sort of a vinegar. And then nitzpah in the Mishnah is pircha, that's the tzlaf, which we said is the caper bush. Novlos tmara is here. We have machlokes between Rav Ilah and Rabbi Zeir Chad Omar Bushle Kamra. These were dried up in the sun, and the heat causes a spoilage. V'chad Omar Tamei Dezika, they were blown down by the wind. Now again, what's the kula here in Demai? So the Gemara says, Bishleim Laman di Omar Bushli Chamra. We can justify that these novlos, which were heated up and burnt in the sun, Haine Diktoni Hakalim Shevamayim, they are subject to a kula in Demai because they're such an inferior substance, and we might think that they were hefker, is sveikon hu depotur havadoi chayov. So it means that if he doesn't know whether the Amoritz who's selling him these bushle chamra, whether or not he was mafrish, was mafrish maser or not. So the chacham would make you, and they said you don't have to be mafrish maser. That's because it's bought from an amoritz, and perhaps he was mafrish or vadai chayav. But if he, for example, he knows that it was tevel, it was never subject hafroshas maser, then he's chayav and hafrosha. And we can understand that according to the Man D'Amru, who says bushle chamri, because these novlos are a tamra, which in terms of the sug, in terms of the min of this tamra, they're not potter from afrashas, krumas, and maestras. We're only mekil because they're not so chashuv, and we can assume that the amiorites would not hesitate to be mafresh maser. So the Gemara is now assuming, based on this statement, that these are minim that are chayav in krumas and maestras. They were only mekil in dmai. And the Yerushalmi actually quotes such an opinion in the name of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan has a different understanding, and he says that these peros are potter because we assume they came from Hefker, and Hefker is potter from Maser. El Mandiom Tamri de Zika, if you assume that these novlos fall from by the wind blows them down, so then it's really hefker. In other words, the Mishnah is saying that vadon, if you know for sure that there was no hafrashas maser, then chayiv, you have to be mafrish. And the Gemara's understand why in the case of vadon, you know that there was no hafrasha, you have to be mafrish, hefker ninu. After all, these paras are hefker, they were blown down by the wind in some sort of a field that was hefker. No one was zocha in it. And hefker is potter min amaser. Now, the explanation here why these tamarim that were blown from the wind, from the tree, are hefker is because mitsuyim shkatzim v'ramasim sh'ochlin osan. In other words, it actually falls in the field of the bialim, but there are so bug-ridden, and all the different creeping creatures will attack them when they're on the ground, then therefore it's hefker. In other words, the Baal Bais is not going to be mocked, but he's moichel in it. But if, let's say, you would have tamarim that fell from a date tree, and you know that they belong to, let's say, Yisomim, then that would not be hefker, because Yisomim are children below, they're minors, below the age of godless, and therefore there's no mechila. Or for example, if let's say your day trees were surrounded by a gader, then Tvar Manoshim Mina Ilan would not be hefker, because we assume they were protected from the bugs. Now how do we know that hefker is potter from Trumas and Maestras, or for example, Leket Shikupeya is also potter in a Maestras? This is in the Mishnah at the beginning of Chala, also the Mishnah is the beginning of Trumas and Maestras. And Rashi says that we derive this from the Pasuk in Bir Maestras. It says, Uba Levi, ki ein lo chelik v'nachla imach. The Chiv of Maestro Rishon to the Levi is because the Levi doesn't have a chelik and nachla, so the Torah says, "Uba ha-Levi ki ein lo chelik yotzu leket shichupeya." That in the case of leket shichupeya, a Levi is allowed to take them if he's poor. That's what leket shichupeya is all about. And Paris hefker also he can take them, and therefore they have a din that's similar to shikha and peya, because it's mutter for an ani to take it. And therefore it's not chayiv in shumas and masros. Hachamai Skin Gemara answers, why would it be that these tamid de zeka, if we knew that there was no afrasha, they wouldn't be hefker, that you'd be chayiv in shumas and masros? And the Gemara answers, shasa'an goren. This was the case. He collected, he harvested his dates from the hefker, put it into a kri, into a large pile, and in this case, he's chayiv min rabbanon in maser, meaning that if he indicates, he demonstrates that it looks chashuv in his field to such an extent that he made a goren out of them, and he collected them all into a pile with all that tircha, so people see that he made it into a goren, And therefore, lokech mimenu mibli lahafresh maaseros. If somebody is going to buy it from him and not be mafresh maaseros, then it's going to look like, in the eyes of the spectator, someone is being makel in maaseros. So they're not interested in maaseros. Because again, once he made it into a kri, into an arema, it seems like it should be chayv. So the rabbanon said in achinami it's chayv because people think it's chayv in maaseros. They have no clue that it was blown down by the wind. Which are all potum in a maser, as we said before, because the levi's allowed to take it. And Asan Goren, he took these peros and he gathered them together into a pile. Hukvu ula maser, midrabbanan, that's considered a kvias maser, kvila maser. And in a place where they gather all the dagon into a goren, that's called chiv maser. That's already a goren. That's called a gemar molocha. That's mechayv b'maser. It's like when you gather together and you make an arema, that's that kri. That's considered gemar molocha and you chayv in maser, and that's called a kvius in maser. That's called asan goren. So the Mishnah wants to teach us that even if these tamarim, these dates that fell from the tree became chayv in maser because he made it into a goren, but nevertheless the chachamim were not machmer in the case of dmai. In other words, if it was vadai tevel, there was no maser, then the rabbanu were machayv, but not in the case of dmai, because the entire entity of chiyuv maser, in this case of Tamri Dezeka, which are technically Hefker, but it's Yochai because Hasan Goren, that's only Darabonah. The Rabbanah were not Machmir to generate an Isud Mai. And that's very interesting because what we're really saying is that although the Rabbanah required Hafrashas, Trumas, and Masros, in the case of Tamri Dezeka, Hasan Goren, that's only Darabonah. It's not really Hafrashas Trumas and Masros. It's really a Gzerah. It's not a Cheftz of Tevel with a Chiyuv Maser, because if that would be the case, then it would apply even in Dmai. And this is kind of like a case of a Gzerah L'Gzerah. So in any event, this is according to one Lishna in explaining what Novlos Tamra is all about. The Ikad Yamri, some have a kasha on this machlokas between Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Loi in a different way, and now we're turning to Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Bishlei Milaman Di Omar Tamri Dezeka. The Mishnah should be understood if you all that Novlos Tamra in Dmai, the Mishnah Dmai is Tamri Dezeka, and that makes sense. Our Mishnah, when it says novelos, keep in mind, that's novelos stam, that's referring to bushla kamra. According to this understanding, hainu dahocha, here in our Mishnah, the Mishnah calls them novelos stoma, and it doesn't add this explanation, or shall we say, this description that would indicate that we're talking about bushla kamra, because it says Hakalin Shebidmai, and on the list it says Novlos Tamara. So he adds Tamara. And the reason for that is because we have a contrast here between Novlos Stam, which is Bushla de Kamra, and Novlos de Tamra, which is Tami de Zeka. So that our Mishnah calls them Novlos Stama without any adjective. And that's because it's referring to Bushla de Kamra. For Hossam, with the Mishnah in Tmai, Korile Novlos Tmara. And why does he add the word Tmara? He doesn't just say Novlos, because he wants to indicate that we're talking about something totally different. We're not talking about Tmarim that were heated up in the sun, which require a bracha of Shahakol Nia Bidvaro, but rather he's talking about Tmarim that were Hefker, and the only Chiyuv Maser is only the Rabbanan, but in Dmai they weren't Machmir, so that's called Novlos Tamra. So the Tamara, the extra word Tamara is indicating that we're talking about a different category of Tamarim. Elamanti Omer Bushli Kamra. But if you can assume that even in the Mishnah in Dmai, Novlos Tamra means Bushli Kamra, and again we're assuming because they were so spoiled by the heat of the sun, therefore Chachom or Mekil in Dmai, but why did the Mishnah choose to use two different terms? Why is it that our Mishnah calls him Novlos without the description of Tamra, and yet the Mishnah in Dmai calls him Novlos Tamra, when both Mishnayos are referring to the same Mitzius, the same entity of Bushla Kamra? Is Nisne Idi V'Idi Novlos Tamra, or Idi V'Idi Novlos Stoma? The Mishnah should have been consistent, since in both cases, whether it's our Mishnah in Brachas or the Mishnah in Dmai, and use the same exact term, because it's referring to the same exact Mitzius, and the Gemara ends with Kasha, which means that we're not rejecting it, it's not a Tiyufta, but it's a Kasha, and then we have to find an answer. So the Ritva says that the answer is the following. And although we really don't have an answer to the question, but it's not Nidchas HaLegamri, as the Gemara deliberately used the word Kasha as opposed to Tiyufta, because we don't reject it legamri. It's a kash, but it's not a TKO, what we would call it. And the Rambam seems to indicate, by the way, that that Novlos in the Din of Dmai is Bushli Kamra, even though the Gemara ends up with Kasha. Again, there's a sheet of the Rashbam that the Lashon Kasha means that we reject an opinion even when it says La Locha, even when it says Kasha. And he has a different explanation as to why sometimes the Gemara uses the term Tiyufta, not Kasha. Anyway, let's get back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ha'ilufon of Minim Harbe, Rabbi Yehuda says, if one of the Minim in front of him is from Shivas HaMinim, then he should make the bracha on Shivas HaMinim. The Chacham seemed to ignore the significance of Shivas HaMinim in favor of Chaviv. Omar Ula says, Machlokes, and Machlokes Shin Rabbi Yehuda, and Chachamim is be in the case of Minim, that are Sheber Chosehem Shavos. Let's say, for example, you have two Bori Priyaitzis, and one of them is Shivas HaMinim. You have Tapuchim and Zaysim. So both have the same bracha, Bor Priyaitz, and he wants to pater them up, both of them with one bracha. And here we have Machlokes, on which of these two fruits he should make the bracha. Rabbi Yehuda Sava Min Shiva Adif. He has to make the bracha on the Zaysim because of Shivas HaMinim, and that trumps the Chaviv. And Rabbanan Savri Min Chaviv Adif, that Chaviv trumps Shivas HaMinim, and therefore you make the bracha on that which is Chaviv, and you pater up the Shivas HaMinim. So if you want to eat the Tapuchim, that's your main Hana, then you make the bracha on the Tapuchim, and you pater up the Zaysim. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, according to Chacham, Mivarech al Ezim en Sheyirtze, means he gives Kedima to the Min Chaviv. Aval be, in a case of Ein Brichosem Shavos, like let's say, for example, he'd have a radish, and he would have a zayis, an olive, is divrei kol, even the Chacham would agree, is mevarach al zeh, v'chozeh mevarach al zeh. He should make the bracha on one min, and then make the bracha on the second min. And there's no way that you could pater up one min with the other min. In this case, there's no machlokas, which comes first, because the entire machlokas as to which come first only applies when the two minim have the same bracha and you want to pater up one with the other. And then he has to find the chashiv, and the machlokas is what's called chashiv. But of course, if he has two minim that each require its own bracha, then he has to be mevarach on both of them. Now let's just make a few points here. If the two minim that he has in front of him have the same bracha, then according to Chachamim, he makes the bracha on the Chaviv, and Rabbi Yonah and the Rosh have one opinion about what is Chaviv. The Or Zeruah has a different opinion about Chaviv. One opinion is that Chaviv means that he generally likes it more in most Pa'amim. However, the Or Zeruah, and apparently the Rambam agrees, is that a min that he wants to eat now, that's the one that's Chaviv. It doesn't matter what he eats yesterday and the day before. And that's called Min Chaviv Adif. So the question is whether it depends on his desire right now or it depends on what he usually eats. Now, in the case where he has two minim that have two different brachos, so we had a Gemara back on Daf Lamed Tes that he should be marked in the bracha mesuyemes before the bracha klolis. So therefore, let's say he has a bar pri adama and he has a shakal nivyadvaro, he should make the bracha on bar pri adama first. Now, if that be the case, why is it that in the case of Tznon and Zayis, it seems like he can make the bracha on the Tznon first? Why is that so? I mean, the bracha on the Tznon is more of a bracha klolis in comparison to the bracha of Bar Priya Eitz on the Zayis. So the Rosh says that Shahakol is different. That's a bracha that's klolis. It doesn't have any element of proteus of birur at all. But when we're comparing Birchas Eitz and Birchas Adama, there's no din of kedima of one bracha over the other because they're both, to some extent, brachos misuyamos. The Rambam, in fact, leaves out this sugya. He doesn't write that you have to be marked in one bracha over the other. He doesn't even have the din of kedima bar pri adama over shakal niyavidvaro. I mean, that's an issue unto itself. Now, let's also add another point over here, and that is that if you have two different minim that have two different brachos, then he has to make a bracha on each min, but he doesn't have a din of chashivas here of one min over the other. And that's what we discussed earlier. We weren't sure about whether there's a kedima in the bracha of eitz over the bracha of Priyadama, because maybe Eitz is more specific, but in any event, as far as the Minim are concerned, we don't talk about the Chashivas of Minim in two different Minim that have two different Brachos. You can talk about Chashivas, which comes first, let's say Chaviv or Shivas Aminim, in the case of two fruits that have the same Bracha, but if they have two different Minim with two different Brachos, then there's no Din of Kedima als Chashivas. Now, we have to also answer Rashi's question over here, and that is that the Mishnah on Daf Mem says that you make on Perasa Ilan, if you made a bracha on Perasa Ilan, Bore Pri Adama, you were Yotze. And if that be the case, it would seem that a bracha Bore Pri Adama would suffice for both Peros. So what Ula says over here, that we've been studying his Chiddush, is that you should make a bracha also on the Bore Pri Eitz. And you should not patter up the Bore Pri Eitz, the Zaysim, with a bracha of Bore Pri Adama, even though the Mishnah says that would suffice. And the answer is, says Rashi, because our Mishnah is talking about a case where he made a toast in the bracha, and accidentally he made a Bore Pri Adama, where he should have been making a bar Pri Eitz, and he's Yotze, because Pri Adama is a bracha kolelis. But lechatchila, even if he's making a bracha on Pri Adama, which is in front of him, he doesn't patter up the bracha on Peros Ha'etz. And even after he makes the Bar Pri Adama, he'll make a bracha on the Bar Pri Ha'etz. That's Rashi Shita. Rabbi Yonah offers a slightly different reconciliation, that the Mishnah is talking about a case of someone who made a bracha on Peros Adama, and he had kavana to patter up the Peros Ha'etz as well. Whereas Ula is talking about a case where he didn't have kavana to patter up the Peros Ha'etz, and therefore he makes a separate bracha on Peres Ha'etz, and he's not Yotze with Pri Adama. It comes out according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, if he would have Kavana Lechatchila on the Peres Ha'etz to be Yotze with the Bar Pri Adama, that would suffice, and that seems to be Lechatchila. It's not something that you would argue is against our recommendation. Getting back to the Gemara now, Meisvei, the Gemara says that there was a kasha that was asked on Ula from a Braisa. The Braisa says the following: Hayu lefanav tznon v'zayis. So tznon, of course, requires a bar pri adam, zayis requires a bar pri etz, mevarech al tznon upoter es hazayis. So it means that even if you have two minim that don't have the same bracha, nevertheless he should be mevarech on one and patur up the other one. And that's against Ula. He says that each min requires its own bracha. So the Makshin is of the opinion that when a person makes a bracha on the tznon, he patters up the zayis. And the Rashba explains that according to the Makshan, his understanding is a pre-chaviv patters up other minim. even if they have two different brachos. Just like we have a halacha, for example, of ikar patas of a tofel, so in a case the zayas is niftar in this particular case from the brach, by the bracha of tznon, because the bracha of bar pri adama is a valid bracha, at least by the evan, and in this case, since he has a din of chaviv with regard to the tznon, he loves radishes, so therefore he'll make the bracha on the radish, and he'll patter up the zayas, even though in general that would be only a b'di'evit situation, but here it's l'chatchila, and one bracha clearly can patter up the other bracha. So how does that square with ula? Hochemayaskin, and the Gemara answers, the Bryce talking about a kesha, kesha hatznon ikar, the zayas is tofel. In other words, he began his achila eating the tznon. He only eats the zayis because he ate the tznon. What does that mean? He eats the zayis because he ate the tznon. The tznon, of course, is very sharp, and he has a sharpness in his mouth, and he sort of neutralizes the sharp taste in his mouth by eating a zayis. So it's a salty zayis, so to speak, that neutralizes the charifus, the sharpness of the tznon. Now we have a Mishnah later on, a Daf Mem Dalid, kol shu ikar ve'imo tofel, that you eat X because you want to eat X, and you eat Y because you ate X, but Y is tofel to X, and then mevarach al ikar poteres atofel. And therefore, in this case, he's going to make the bracha on tznon, and he's going to pater up the zayis. Ula is talking about two minim, that each one is an ikar, one is not tuffle to the other, therefore he makes the bracha on each min. Ihachi Gemara says, a masefa, what are we going to do with that brisa? If you're telling me that the brisa is talking about a zayis that's tuffel, read the sefa of the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mevarech al zayis, shazayis hu mimin shiva. That the bracha is going to be on the zayis because the zayis is shivas haminim. Now, if you're telling me that the brisa is talking about a case where the zayis is tofel to the tznon, then I don't understand. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda accept the principle that is codified in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalet, less leil Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara is asking a rhetorical question. Hadisnan kol shu ikar ve'imo tfeilu v'varach al ikar potras atfeilu. So that it, with all due respect to the fact that the zayis is mimin shiva, but in the case where it's tfeila, and he's not eating the zayis because he really wants to eat the zayis, he only eats the zayis because he ate the tznon, clearly he would not need a bracha on the zayis. He should patter up that bracha with the bar pri adama and the tznon, even though, despite the fact that this zayis is mishiva sadminim, v'chi tema hachinami delesle, and don't even entertain the possibility that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the Mishnah of Ikar and Tofel, and therefore he requires a bracha on the Zayis, even though it's Tofel, because Hatanya, we have a brisa that records Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im machmas tznon v'azayis, mevarech al tznon, upoter es azayis. So it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda accepts the principle of Ikar and Tofel, that the bracha on the Ikar patters up the Tofel. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda says in this brisa, Mavarach al Azayis, Shazayis mimin Shiva, it must be talking about a case where the Zayis is an Ikar, it's not a Tofel, because otherwise you would not make the bracha on the Zayis, but rather on the Tznon. So if they're both Ikar, nevertheless the Chachom say you make the bracha on the Tznon and you pat the Zayis, that's against Ula, who holds that in two different minim, when each one has a different bracha, you make the bracha on each one of them. And here we have a brisa that says clearly that you make the bracha on one and you patter up the other. And that's the lashon of brisa. Let's read the brisa one more time. The brisa says, Hoyu lefon of tznon, vizayis, mevarach al tznon, upoter es hazayis. So Gemara answers, Liolim b'tznon ikar askinon. The reason why he's making the bracha on the tznon and not on the zayis is because he's only eating the zayis to counter and neutralize the effect of the charifus in his mouth of the tznon, and it's a tofel. V'chi pligi rabbanon, Rabbi Yehuda rabbanon, and that which we find the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and rabbanon in the seifa of this brisa, that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he says, no, make the bracha on the zayis, and he's cholik on the chachamim. That sefer is talking about a different mitzius, b'milsach rita pligi. It's not a case, it's not a hemshech of the reisha where the tznon is ikar and the zayis is tofel, because then Rabbi Yehuda would not disagree and he would drop the bracha on the zayis. There's a piece of the rice that's missing. Here's the way you read the rice. And the zayis is tofel. He's only eating the zayis to counterbalance the harifas of the tznon. Aval einat tznon ikar. If the tznon is not the ikar, meaning that he's eating both tznon and zayis, is divya kol bein chachomim, bein Rabbi Yehuda mevarach al zeh v'chos mevarach al zeh. So they're not going to argue in this case. Both agree that if there's a minechad ikar and a minechad tofel, he makes the bracha on the ikar and he patters off the tofel. If both minim are ikar and there's no tofel, he makes the bracha on each min, like we saw in Ula, because they have two different brachos. And then the Raisa tells us, according to this new girsa, this text of the Raisa, Shnei minim v'alma shibirchosem shavim. In general, when you have two different minim, like zayis and tapuach, one is mishivas haminim and the other is not. Here we have machlok shin chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda. Chachomim will say mevarach al ezim and sheyirtze. And that's the ikar, the kovea here, which trumps is the shivas haminim is the chaviv. And Rabbi Yehuda omer mevarach al zayis. You make the bracha on shivas haminim, shazayis u'imin shiva. So it comes out that according to this brisa, the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the chacham that's recorded in this brisa is a case of two minim that have the same bracha. The chachamim say chaviv, and you pater up the other min that has the same identical bracha. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you make the bracha on the shivas haminim, and you pater up the other min, even though the other min is chaviv, but in a case where ein birchosem shavos, everybody agrees that each min needs its own bracha, as we saw in Ula. And the Bryce is telling us in the Reisha that in a case of ikar v'tofel, you make the bracha on the ikar and you patter up the tofel, and there's no machlokas on that issue. Both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim accept that principle that the ikar patters up the tofel. Then the Gemara brings a machlokes amoroim in terms of how to understand our Mishnah. Pligi ba Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha Chanamar. Some say that the machlokes between Chacham Rabbi Yehuda is birchoseim shavos. You have two different minim. One is shivas haminim, the other is not shivas haminim, but they have the same bracha. Rabbi Yehuda sava min shiva ad, Rabbanan sava min chaviv ad, as we said before. Aval but minim she'ein birchoseim shavos, divrei akol, according to one opinion in the Amoraim, both Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham will agree mevarach al zeh, v'chosim mevarach al zeh. It means that one bracha does not patter up the other min, because each min requires its own bracha. V'chad omar, and according to another opinion in the Amoraim, again we don't know exactly who says what, but whether it's Rav Ami or Rav Yitzchok Nafcha, is af bi shnei minim she'ein birchoseim shavas nami machlokes. And the Gemara is now going to explain what is that machlokas according to that Madiyomer, when you have two different minim, and yet there's a machlokas here about which bracha you should make. So the Gemara says, fine, Bishleim Madiyomer Birchoseim Shavas machlokas. We understand that there's a machlokas in two minim that have the same bracha. Shapir, it makes sense that the machlokas is whether you should make the bracha on the shivas haminim or on the chaviv. Elamandi yomer she'ein birchoseim shavas pligi b'may pligi. What's the machlokas between the Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda in the case of ein birchoseim shavas om Rabbi Yirmiya? What should we do in interpreting the machlokas? The answer is lahakdim. The question is, which bracha on which of the two, and the two different brachas, which bracha comes first? The din of kedima. According to Chachamim, we should be makdim the min chaviv to the min shiva. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we should be makdim the min shiva to the min chaviv. So the makshon before Rabbi Yirmiyah, he held that if there's no shavius in the brachos, means what's the mile of being mocked in one over the other? Because if you make a bracha on both of them anyway, because they're two minim, so then there's no din of kedimas brachos. And Rabbi Yirmiyah says no, that even in the case of two different brachos, because they're two different minim that require two different brachos, nevertheless there's a din of kedima, and now the Gemara is going to go ahead and explain what this din kedima is all about. So when the Gemara asked B'mai Pligi, the Gemara was bothered by the fact that there shouldn't be any sort of machlokes, according to what we'll call Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, in a case of minim she'ein b'chosem shavos. And now the Gemara is coming up with Rabbi Yirmiyahu's Chiddush that even in Ein Birchosem Shavos is going to be machlokes as to whether or not you should make the bracha on the Shiva Saminim or on the Chaviv. And the Gemara is going to prove this by quoting a statement of Rabbi Yosef, Diyomar Rabbi Yosef, Yitema, to say it was Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol Hanizkar Mukdom B'Pasuk Zeh. We go back to the Pasuk of Shiva Saminim, right? The Torah says in Dvarim Perek Ches, Eretz Chito Siora Gefen Use'eno V'rimon Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash. And we're going to have on this list Minim She'en V'chosem Shavos is Mukdam B'Pasuk is Mukdam L'Bracha. And we're going to look at these Minim, see in what order the Torah presented them when it was being Meshabeach Eretz Yisrael as an Eretz Chito Siora, etc. And even though there are two different brachas, for example, chita here is before gefen, the bracha on chita is not the same as the bracha on gefen. Yes, there's going to be a din of kedima on that min, which comes earlier in the pasuk. And that's going to be Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. And certainly there should be a kedima if you have two minim of Shiva Saminim that have the same bracha. Certainly there's a that goes without saying that there's a din kedima, but here we're talking about two different minim that have two different brachos, like the case of chita and gefen, two different brachos and two different minim, and Rabbi Yehuda is mechadish that there's a din kedima here that's written in this pasuk, and that's a big chiddush. Now We've discussed in the past that there is a machlokas in the poskim about the din of chita, whether chita gets a kedima when it's in its raw state, or maybe you make kolu, you sort of bake it in an oven, or for example, there may be a din of kedima when it's afuya mevusheles and the bracha is misonos. But in any event, the kedima here, whether it's chaya or kluya, whether it's natural or it's been processed, there are different opinions. And even as far as sa'or is concerned, we're not sure if it has the same din as chita. And when it's considered kedima in the pasuk here, what state it's in, is it natural or is it processed? Is it baked? Is it fried? Is it put into an oven and dried up? So that's the general shita of most of the Rishonim and the Poskim. However, there is a shita, the Ramah, with regard especially to Saorim, that Saorim get a bracha, not a Barim Minim Sonos, but if they're either raw or you've put them into an oven and dried them, the bracha is Shakol Yibidvar. That's not the way you would normally eat Saorim. It's only Al Yedei Adchak, and therefore we drop the bracha down to a lower level of Shakol Yibidvar. In any event, when we talk about Chitin U'Saorim here in this pasuk, the Gemara says in Pesachim there are many different subcategories of Chitin U'Saorim. For example, Kusmin, which we call spelt, I'm not sure if Kusmin is spelt, but in any event, that's a subcategory of Chita, where a Shibola, Shul, and Shifon, which is a different kind of a rye or other kinds, that they are subcategorized under Saorim. Oats and rye are subcategory of Shibola Shul. That's a Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed Hey. The Mogen Avraham and Arachaim Simon Kuf Samaches says that Saora, that's mentioned in the Pasuk, is since it's explicit, comes before Kusmin, and the same logic would apply to Shibola Shul and Shifon, that again, so Chita comes before Kusmin, and Shibol Shul and Shifon come after Siorim, because they're subcategories of Siorim. Now, Geffen in this pasuk is a reference to grapes, and the bracha here is Bori Priya Eitz. So you have things here that will get a bracha of Bor Minim Zonos and Bor Priya Eitz. So it's definitely two different brachos. And, Zesim and Tmarim here in this pasuk, L'chora, let's see where the Kedima would be. The Ramah holds that that Anovim, let's just go through this. You have a din of Bori Pri Ha'etz on Anovim and a Bori Pri Ha'gefen on Yayin. According to some, and the Ramah seems to codify this in our Chaim Siman Reshid Aleph, they hold that Yayin gets Kedima to Zesim and Tmarim, and Anovim likewise. Now that's interesting because the Pasuk says Geffen after Chita Usiora. If Geffen refers to Anovim, then it comes third on the list. And Zesim is later on the list. And how much more so should Anovim come before Tmarim, which is at the end of this list, and to Einim Rimonim? However, the Beis Yosef writes that that's not so, that there's no din of Kedima if he wants to drink wine and eat the other peros, because those have two different brachos. And he has to make a different bracha on each one. So he's mocked in whichever one he wants to. And then we're going to see that there's a din kedima based on the proximity to the word Eretz. So it says Eretz Zei Shemen Udvash. So it could be, and this we'll have to study as we go through the Sugya Mirtz Hashem, could be that Zayis is going to take preference over Anovim, if Anovim is number three on the list, and Zayis is written right after Eretz. So all this has to be studied carefully. In any event, what we see here clearly, according to Rav Yosef or Rav Yitzhak, whoever it is, that there's a din of Muktam v'Posuk, even though they're two different brachos. So we have, again, Chita is before Geffen in the Pasuk, and we're going to be Makdim Chita and make the bracha Chita before Geffen, and that reflects the Shita Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, that even in Ein Berchoseim Shavim, nevertheless there is a din of Kedima based on the sequence in the Pasuk of Shivas Aminim. The Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim hold that you should be Makdim the Min Chaviv, not the Min that's Kodim in the Pasuk. And that applies even though the Kedima is written in the Pasuk. Now, it's very logical that according to Chachamim, if Lo Yitzur, there was no Chaviv here, that he would go back to the sequence in the Pasuk. Now, according to the Drasha of Rabbi Yitzchak, the Pasuk is giving Shevach to the Peros, HaChashuvos, and Eretz Yisrael, the Shvach HaOretz, and the Torah writes them in a certain Seder, and that's the Seder of the Chashivos, and therefore we should be marked in the Bracha based on the sequence, whichever came first in the Pasuk, comes first in the Bracha. And the Gemara says, Upliga de Rav Hanan, Rabbi Yitzchak is against Rav Hanan, the Omer who holds, Rabbi Hanan says, Kol ha-posukulo li-shi'urin nemar. In other words, each one of these peros comes under the Misharin b'shi'urei Torah. The Gemara is going to explain that momentarily, but according to this Shita of Rabbi Hanan, the Pasuk is not coming to be Mishabech Eretz Yisrael and the Peres HaMashubachim that it has, but rather the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael here is in the Shi'urei Torah, which depend upon Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the Torah is not being makbin on the Seder of the Peros as far as the Chashivas is concerned, but rather Shi'urei Torah and Kulam Shavim, they all have the same Chashivas. And Rabbi Hanan now explains what he means, what Shi'urim are written in the pasuk or taught by this pasuk, and he says the following: chita. The word chita is coming to teach us a shir in tuma with regard to nigei batim. And here, just to give a little bit of background, we have a parsha in Vayikra Yudalid Habal Abayis Yitma Ad Ha'orev, which is called Tumas Begodim Bebeis HaMenuga. And the pasuk doesn't say that Olav L'chabes Begodiv T'kidei L'tarom, but in the next pasuk it says Vashachev Bebayis Yechabes Es Begodiv Va'ochav Bayis Yechabes Es Begodiv. In other words, there is a scenario mentioned in the pasuk when the begodim become tamei, when he goes into a beis hamenuga wearing these begodim. The Torah is not limited in terms of someone who eats in the bayis, although the Torah does say vashochev bebayis. I'm sorry, the Torah does not say Ashoche b'bayis, but rather the Torah means that he was in the bayis for a shir, a certain amount of time, a minimum amount of duration. That's called Shehiya b'bayis. And how long is this a shir of Achila? And then when he goes to the base of Hamanuga, he's wearing begodim and he remains in that bayis, a shir of Achila, even if he didn't eat anything, then he becomes Tomei. And the begodim become Tomei. As far as he is concerned, immediately when he's boil abayis, he becomes tameh. The begodim, however, are not tameh unless he shoek his shir achila. And on this din, there's a shir of achila, which is determined by a pas hasuya michita. So chita is telling me what the achila is, the shir of achila, as far as tumas begodim when he goes into the beis hamenuga. So let's read the Mishnah now. It's in the Goyim Perek Yud Gimel. Hanichnas lebeis hamenuga, the kelov al kseifa, he's wearing begodim. And if it's shalo kederach malbush, that's called al kseifa, he's just carrying it over his shoulder, v'sandola v'tabaosa b'yodov, and again, he's doing it shalo kederach malbush. He's carrying his sandalim in his hand, or he's wrapping around his finger. He's carrying it. Is hu v'heim tmei miyad? You know, it's the boil abayis becomes tummy immediately. However, his begodim do not become tum because he's not wearing them b'derech malbush. Then the sefer, this mishnah, says hoya lovish kelev sandal baraglo v'tabosav etzbosav. He's wearing these things the normal way you're wearing it. Then hu tumi miyad v'heim tovrim ad sheyishev b'chdei achilas pras. That these begodim that he's wearing b'derech levisha will become tummy if he stays within the beis hamenuga a shir of achilas pras. And that's a shir that we find in the laws of Erevin, when we talk about mazon shtei sudos, that you have a half of a kikar is mazon of suda achas. And therefore, when a person enters into the beis hamenuga, he becomes tomei miyad. His begodim that he's not wearing gederach malbush, they become tomei miyad. So let's read the Mishnah again. Hanichnas the beis hamenuga, the kelov al Sefer v'sandol v'tabosu b'yodav hu v'hein tmei miyad. Ah, because if it's not derech malbush, then they become tummy immediately. However, if he remains within the bnei sabnuga, a shir of kedei achilus pras, which, as we said before, is chatzi kikar, as we saw in Eruv, which is mazon shtei sudos, then not only are the begodim that he's carrying and he himself tmeim, but even his begodim that he's wearing become tmeim. And Rabbi Chanan explains that how are we going to be mishar this man achila? It's going to be a zman of achilas chatzi kikar pas chitim velo bepasi orin. Pasi orin is a harder bread. It's made of barley bread and it has to be eaten slowly. A pas chitin is a shorter period of time because you can eat it very quickly, it's very soft. And the way we evaluate exactly how much time it takes is mesiv v'ochlon. he eats it what we call b'derech ha-seva. And so he doesn't look to the left or do to the right. He's eating this pas very quickly, and therefore is the lifton. We're also going to be mishayer with lifton, which is something that he eats together with the pas. That's lefes l'lafes bos ha-pas. And if he's eating the pas together with the lifton, he'll eat it very quickly, much quicker than it would take him to eat the pas levado. And this is going to be the shear of how long the nichnas lebeis hamenuda is shoe in the bayis, in the beis hamenuga, and he's mitami the begodim that he's wearing. And then the Torah says siora, and that's coming to teach us a different shear of tuma. And that's as far as what's called tumas etzem in a mace, that the Torah says that if a person touches a bone of a dead body, of a human body, then he's tummy betumas mes. Now, what is the size, the minimum size of this bone? And that's the shear that's written in the Mishnah in Olos in the second parak, etzem kisiora. That even if the bone is so small, it looks like a kernel of barley, then it's mitami v'maga uvemasa. So if a person carries this bone, or he touches this bone, then he contracts tumas mes. But ena mitami b'ohel, even though it's mitami b'maga uvemasa, it's not mitami b'ohel. So a person enters into a bias, and it has there inside the bias an etzim and a meis kishir k'sa'ora, he doesn't become tomi v'tumas oel. That's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that an etzim and a meis is only mitame b'mago v'masa, but not b'oel. And now again, we go through the shirim in the pasuk. It's not about the seder ha-chashivas here, that would have an impact on brachas. It's all about shirim. And Geffen is coming to teach us k'dei shir v'vias yayin. So, for example, if a nazir drinks wine and he's going to get malchus for violating the iser of shtiyas yayin, it's only if he drinks a revius yayin, and that's derived from the pasuk Geffen. So, a nazir will be chayav if he eats chartzanim, zogim, lulavi gefanim. He becomes chayav for this achila, but only if he eats a shear of revius yayin. And the shear of Revius Yayin is a larger shear than Revius Mayan, because Yayin is much thicker, water is thinner. Ta'ina is coming to teach us the shear of Grogeres, Le'inyan what? Hotzah B'Shavis. And the shear of Grogeres, which is a dried fig, is the amount of volume that he carried from one Rishus to the other. And the Mishnah says in Shabbos HaMotzi Ochlin Ki Grogeres, Chayav. So the shear of Melechas Hotzah in Shabbos is going to be a shear of Grogeres. Rimon is coming to teach us the shear of Fetara Sakli. Kidisnan, we learned it in Mishnah in Kalim. Kol, clay, balabatim, we're talking about clay eights, is these Kalim are functional. They're omid l'shimush. You don't usually sell them. And now we turn to Daf Mem Aleph Omid Beis, Shi'uran, Kir Rimon. In the shear of Tara is what's called a Nekev Hamotzi Rimon. So if you have a Kli and it has a hole in it, then even though the Kli had contracted Tuma, now it becomes Tar because of the Nekev. But what's the size of the Nekev? It's got to be a shear of a Rimon. If it's a small Nekev, then the Kli does not become Tar. And the reason for that is because Balabatim Chasim Al Kleihem. So they don't want to pronounce dead a kli that's valuable, and just because it has a small nekev, they can use it in some function. You know, they can carry kitnios, zesim, whatever it is. So the nekev is small, but you can use it and it's functional, this kli, for kitnios, for carrying kitnios. Now, if the nekev in the kli is larger, so that small kitnios would, very small legumes would fall, beans and so forth would fall through the hole, but they could still use the kli for zeisim, which are a little bit larger. Again, especially in those days, the zeisim were larger. Now, if the nekev is even larger than that, that even zeisim will fall through the holes, then they'll use They'll use this for carrying a gozim. If the nekev is even too large, the gozim will fall through, then they'll use it for rimonim. And once the nekev in the kli is such that even rimonim will fall through, that's how large the nekev is, then the kli is tar, because in that case it doesn't really have a function at all. But that's only in the kelim shel bal habayis. Then you have kelim shel uman, which are designated for mechira, for sailing. Then you can't sell a kli even if it has only a neck of kol shehu. And in such a keli, the uman would not sell it because it has a small hole, and you don't need a neck of that's large as a rimon, and it's already tar at that point. And then the Torah says, Eretz Zeis Shemen. So Rabbi Yossi says, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chanina, says that this pasuk is teaching me that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Shekol Shiurea Kezeisim. That all the Shiurim, and we can derive the Shiurim from Peres Ha'aretz, are the Shiurim of a Kezias. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Kol Shiurea Sakadaito, you can't tell me that all the Shiurim are Kezias, because Ha'ika Hanach the Amoran. I mean, we just had all the other shirim that we mentioned that we derived from chita and saora and gefen, and those are shirim the size of a chita and a saora and a gefen. They're not the size of a zayis, ella, but rather what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina had in mind was eretz sherov shirea kezesim, a land which most of the shirim, for example, as far as achilas chelev or dam or nosar or pigul, all of them to be chayev have a shir, a minimum shir of a kezayis. And that which it says in the pasuk Dvash, Kikosevas Agasa Vyoma Kippurim. So we're talking about a very large date. And if you eat a foodstuff on Yom Kippur, that's the size of this Kosevas Agasa, this large tamra, then your chayv kareis for violating, for called a nefesh lo se'uda, is v'nichrus ha'nefesh. And even though the Torah uses the word Dvash, Dvash in the Torah means Dvash tomorrow. Now Rabbi Yitzchak, we said back on Amud Aleph, disagrees with Rabbi Hanan. He uses the pasuk for kedim and brachos. How does he derive all these shiurim? Hani shiurim behedja miksive ella midrabbanan ukras machta bialma. In other words, the Gemara answers that, what are you asking me? You're telling me that this pasuk is referring to shiurim. Where does it say in the pasuk anything about shiurim? In other words, it's very nice that Rav Hanan says that the pasuk is talking about shiurim, but that's not mafurish in the Torah. Let's go back to the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So you should ask a kasha on Rav Hanan, how do you know shiurim? Even Rav Hanan is not going to derive shiurim from this pasuk, because there's no indication that this pasuk is giving me those various shiurim in those various halachas. Ella, but for sure, midrabbanan. All the shiurim are only midrabbanan, and the pasuk is only in asmachta. Now, the Gemara appears also in Erevin and Sukkah, and Amir Sashem in the next Shia, we'll talk about those sugyas, and try to figure out whether or not we have another possible explanation for the Shiurim, which is called Halacha Moshe Misinai. Here the Gemara uses the term Terabbanon, and it's an Asmachta, but elsewhere the Gemara calls Shiurim Halacha Moshe Misinai, and Amir Sashem in the next Shia will try to pick up that point and reconcile our sugya with the other sugyas in Shas that indicate that shiurim are not derabbanon, but rather halacha l'moshe misinai. So we're ending up here on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis, and we're almost up to the seventh line here, and that's where we'll pick it up in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.